Welcome to Sartastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This podcast is dedicated to Fraser Mendonca, who left Denver and Leti in September 2023 before their October road trip to Northern BC and the Yukon. Scene 1, April 23, 1984, somewhere in the US.
All this enfolded energy has been transformed to stress of space-time or pure potential. However, it does not have a randomized substructure as is usual in quantum electrodynamics, but has a determined known substructure consisting of the constructed enfolded E and B field vectors. Conceptually, a magnetic pole is such a spatiotemporal stress potential, but usually with a randomized substructure as is an electrical charge. Now, it is fundamental that only the envelope is observable and the enfolded substructure has become virtual. But by having a deliberately designed and controlled substructure, one has turned quantum mechanics inside out. One can now control and engineer the probabilities themselves, and even determine which eigenvector state of a propagating Schrödinger's wave will be produced in the collapse of the wave function. Indeed, in theory, one can control when the wave function collapses and under what circumstances.
We start scene one with these sentences. Why start with this paper? It is just some document that was approved for release in 2003. It was a 1984 document. This content, most of the content, minus the Bohm-Aharonov effect, which is, I think, something that the paper has used to extrapolate, or rather, to defend the author's claim. And since I am a retired person now, I'm using this podcast as a work of fiction. This podcast is titled Sartastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So let's start with that and then come back to this paper. But keep in mind that the paper's original search keywords included the Bohm-Aharonov effect, and that's how this came up. It was not from a perspective to actually use the content of the paper, more from the perspective to set the stage for the four houses, since this is Sartastic Beasts, and each of those beasts have to belong to a house. The inspiration is obviously from the book. So if we go with that, the change direction of the podcast is more to delve, not anymore, on conversations. It might come up, but it mightn't. It's not the primary focus. As you will see in the first season, there are a couple of interviews there. And initially, the purpose was to dig deep into SAR and NSAR and conduct interviews. Because obviously, this podcast started when I had not retired from tech. So since I was in the world of business, commercializing and the business implications were prominent. But after a major change in September, it's now a fun experiment and it's a fun project. So it would be a mix of fact and fiction, mostly fiction, with some fun for me, because that would be a nice way for me to grok. I wouldn't want to grok, let's say, because I'm not trying to learn the field. It's more to explore and harmonize multiple constructs that I picked up along the way. And one of this, obviously, if you know me, I like the Harry Potter series, but more so Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is why this podcast is inspired, and it's got Sartastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So if you have beasts, you would have to have their four houses. And no, we're not going to have Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, Slytherin, and Gryffindor. But what I've tried to do is also separate most of the things about these beasts, not to generalize it, but actually put them in houses. So everything about SAR systems, each of these houses right now don't have a name. We will come up with a name later down the line, maybe in another series. But for now, this very first episode in the second season, which is not focused at all on interviews, not at all. So if that's the reason somebody's listening to this, hoping that they will get some interviews with the field experts. Sorry to disappoint you because this has now converted to a fun project as part of that. So let's get back. They are sarcastic beasts, but they belong to four separate houses. Anything to do with instrument, that is matter in general, or the vehicle, the tool, will come under the umbrella of the first house, which is the Sar system house. So the instrument itself, that does all of the things. Matter itself will be one house. So whenever we have episodes where we talk about the SAR systems, which definitely could now include SAR satellites as well. Initially, when I started this podcast, I did not want to talk about SAR satellites at all. I wanted to only focus on the outcomes and the applications, the field applications, specifically because my work experience was with a company that was focused on natural catastrophes. I was focused on natural phenomena, studying those things, so changes. So definitely like permafrost is definitely something that I am personally interested in. I wasn't interested in flood monitoring. Areas are the Arctic areas do matter, and all permafrost areas do matter. Then I am still interested in peatland burning, but from a very zombie fire, wildfire sense, that is peatland burning in winter as opposed to the regular wildfire. Initially, the focus of the podcast was all about not natural catastrophe, but just natural phenomenon. And as it helps, obviously, you're talking about risks, right? So applications of SAR and interviews with people who primarily were focused on SAR and mainly on INSAR, because INSAR is interferometric SAR, is what I really started liking when I started working on SAR. And that would have its separate season, definitely. But I wanted to start, like, since the direction of this podcast has changed. So now what I had excluded, that is the SAR systems, the SAR satellites per se, or SAR, I wouldn't say satellite, it doesn't have to be space-based monitoring. So that's why I'm like the SAR system, the instrument itself and its components, anything that makes up matter, that is the actual tool that does the work, comes under SAR systems. And to map my interest in fantastic beasts and where to find them, this would right now, this doesn't have a name, but the SAR systems will most likely seem like the Hufflepuff group. So if you're in the Hufflepuff house, you're talking about SAR systems, anything that is material. And that's the first group. The second group is about the thought, the algorithms, anything to do with curiosity, computation, processing, measuring. So the instrument is one thing, but calibration of the calibrator is another thing. So instrumentation is one thing, but whatever advancements are made in that field. This is a new house. Like in 2022, I was focused only on interviews and algorithms, computation or processing, instrumentation, measurements, the observer, basically anything to do with thought. Would have just been an interview with a person who's like a SAR expert. So initially the interviews were supposed to be about the people. But now in this case, it's become a separate house in itself. So whenever I have an episode that talks about algorithms, let's say the range migration algorithm or the back projection algorithm or matched filter or anything of that sort, polar format, that will come under this group. Not to delve deeper into this because there will definitely be an episode on these things, but anything to do with computation, with algorithms, these kinds of beasts, these kinds of sarcastic beasts will come under this group called thought, time, the observer, in that they fall under that house. And to map it to fantastic beasts, anything to do with SAR algorithms, SAR processing, SAR computation, new measuring methods will fall under Ravenclaw. Now, my third house is Gryffindor. This house is what was the original intent of the podcast last year. When I started the podcast last year and we conducted a couple of interviews, and I had lined up another, I think there were another four or five interviews lined up. One I just couldn't get hold of this person who was some person working for some company in Canada, and he focused on INSAR marketing. So I just couldn't schedule a date with like a time to interview him. So I dropped that. But the funny part was when I was discussing this with one of my colleagues about the lineup that I had around four or five interviews lined up last year. This house house, the Gryffindor house that I'm talking about, the applications of SAR, the outcomes that you want to get, like what is the tool useful for? Like why should we spend so much money, for example, on quantum computing? The amount of bills companies might be footing just to keep those qubits cool. Like literally it's cryogenics, right? So you can imagine the amount of energy that's used to actually the behind the scene that nobody talks about of how much energy is consumed. So people talk about like, why do you need quantum computing? Like why focus on that? This particular podcast was aimed at that. Like what is the value of SAR? And that's why it was very interview driven and it was geared towards the lineup that I was planning to, those four people that I was planning to interview and then have a bunch of interviews every month and just have this podcast focus on interviews. So now it's become just a house. And if we do conduct interviews on SAR applications, anything to do with the implementation, commercialization, practical benefits of enhancements, those will come under this title called Products of Thought. So whatever Ravenclaw thinks has to be, think of Gryffindor as an entrepreneur. Whatever Ravenclaw, the scientist, brings up, Hufflepuff will produce, and then Hufflepuff is a SAR system, right? So that enhances. Whatever Ravenclaw comes up with has to be sold, has to be workable, has to be commercially viable. And then those manifestations are products of thought. So this house is Gryffindor, which is all about implementation of SAR. Whenever I talk about permafrost and infrastructure instability in the Yukon, which is primarily my area of interest, but not the Yukon now with the change of my life plans with Fraser passing. I probably will not go to the north. So Yukon is most likely not on the map anymore for me. But like permafrost, when you talk about permafrost and infrastructure instability, so how SAR will help in that sense, my areas of interest, I might not do flood monitoring because that's not so. Ice jams is a different case altogether, but flood monitoring would not be an area of interest. Wildfire generally would not be an area of interest, but zombie fires like wildfire burning in like underground wildfire, like peatland burning, which happens during the winter season and drying of the peat. So those kinds of things, applications, not the phenomenon, but basically the applications. So how to separate the house that is the algorithm's house. When I talk about a theory, anything to do with the science, a discovery, research, anything to do with the propagation and enhancement of knowledge, that will come in the, we need a name for it, but in the observer house, that is Ravenclaw. And whenever we talk about the application, we will, or we have interviews about certain things, we will talk about this next house, Gryffindor, which is products of thoughts. And finally, let's circle back to why I read what I read right at the start of the episode. That's a paper that was approved for release. It's a 1984 paper. So why did I read that paper? That is the fourth house we're talking about. All the unknowns, all the unknowables, all the risk that you cannot fathom, anything unfathomable, anything that eludes you, anything that's mysterious, that which we cannot name falls under the Slytherin house. And then that's the reason, the things like this paper is generally termed, like by most people, I am not a scientist, so I can't tell you what's science and what's pseudoscience. I don't want to go into that. So that's the reason I was like, whatever is termed by the world as, okay, there's a mystery. So it could be esoteric and it might turn out to be pseudoscience, or it could be something that we don't know right now because of a limitation of our own thought, which is basically quantum physicist, as opposed to the commercialization of quantum computing and quantum mechanics and stuff of that nature. I don't want to get into that domain, but I've been reading up people who are studying quantum physics from two lenses, one from the lens of science and one from the lens of philosophy. I've been reading some discussions and they talk about a couple of things. And this is why I wanted to have a house, like a fourth house, that is like the dark matter that you know nothing about, you cannot figure out today because of the limitations of maybe the instruments. So these dialogues between physicists, like the actual researchers and the philosophers, they talk about instrumentation, when they say that, is it the confidence is because of the calibration, right? So the instrument limits our ability to actually measure. So what we might know is definitely more than what the tool can measure. So the instrument and then the ontology, that is what is the nature of the thing itself, which is why I definitely needed a fourth house. And I was like, let's take a spin on Slytherin. And it's like that much, which cannot be named, right? Anything that we term as unfathomable, mysterious, esoteric, dark matter, let's say this, the nature of the signal itself, the particles in the signal, the particles in the wave itself, anything we talk about, all these, specifically why I wanted to come to Bohm and hidden variables, because I've always been interested in Bohm since I think the first time I heard about him in 2001, I think grade 10, yeah. So 2001, but like literally heard in terms of not like, hey, these are some of the scientists and this was their famous discovery, but mainly just heard about his work. And through Bohm, I ended up reading about Sir Roger Penrose and a couple more other people. Like this Ahanarov effect is what I was talking about. Because I was looking up this notion about hidden variables and the collapse of the wave function and other things, I ended up reading about particle, the pilot wave, and then I ended up listening to two recordings, two videos. One was by Ahanarov. He was quite old by then. So there was a talk that he gave. And then I also had another talk about, I think it was string theory versus twister theory, something about Sir Roger. Like I said, I'm not a physicist. So this is not like a scientific project. This is more like I was just listening to one and then one video led to another. And I ended up reading about Sir Roger Penrose. And I was like, okay, this is nice. And then I ended up with some other interview. And I was like, oh, okay, hang on. Let's just have this one fourth house called Slytherin. Now, I just wanted to circle back. And that's the reason I started with this particular paper, which is the author. Since he's passed away, I don't want to simply talk about a person who's put his life doing something. And now he's passed away. So I don't want to talk about that. But he's used the Bohm Ahanarov or the Ahanarov Bohm's effect. He's used that as the basis. Thought this would be a good way to start scene one, which is to start with the mystery and the unknown. So Slytherin, that's the house. And that's how I am going to break up the episodes. So whenever I talk about the beast, you have to start thinking about which house the beast belongs to. So let's say I talk about the range migration algorithm. Now we know it's an algorithm. We are thinking about thought, the observer processing. It automatically falls in the Ravenclaw house. If there's an interview with somebody about, let's say, where was it? Oh, yeah. Like, let's say there was this very interesting paper I read about non-destructive testing and the use of SAR. And they were looking at quantum as well, quantum computing. Although the quantum piece is like, it just keeps coming in because everybody's so hyped up about it. I was like, oh, man, I'm looking for something else. And this paper comes up somewhere unnecessarily. My research basically was more about application of SAR in other fields. So I think there was a paper on non-destructive testing. So let's say you talk to someone about the application of SAR in NDT. So those kinds of interviews will come under this field of product of thoughts. So right now, there are four houses. The first house is Hufflepuff / Matter. It needs a name. So that will talk about SAR systems. The second house is the Ravenclaw, the Observer / Ravenclaw house. Anything that's a product of thought in terms of outcomes, commercialization, viability, that's the Gryffindor SAR applications, Gryffindor / Manifestations products of thoughts house. And then finally, things like this, where we like, oh, we don't know, whatever is unfathomable, anything that eludes or something that is yet to be understood because of the limitation of thought or the limitation of thought's instrumentation, that falls under Slytherin. And those are my sarcastic beasts. And in the next episode, the very first beast that I will talk about will most likely be, there are around seven papers that I read now in the last 8 days. One is this deep learning super resolution / quantum annealers used for phase unwrapping for interferometric SAR applications. So that's more on the computation side. So that's why I think that should be my very first official beast. I hope this direction, it stayed, the essence is still the same, but it's kind of expanded in multiple directions because initially it was just interviews and SAR applications. Sartastic beasts and where to find them was a pun. Although I did have, like, I was about to name my beasts, but my beasts were initially supposed to be people I interview, right? So they would be my sarcastic beast, the next beast I was going to find an interview. But I think this takes a holistic approach. And I find this cathartic in that sense, because it's this podcast is now converted to a fun project, because since I've retired from tech, it's more like a fun project. And it's also in memory of Fraser. So it gives me a way to blend all the things I like. Like, I do love mystery and magic, and that's why I like had the Harry Potter series. And I definitely like more, like less of the Harry Potter series, more of the Fantastic Beasts, because obviously I like animals. I just wanted to have that blending in with definitely my interest in, actually acquired interest in Saar and Insar, mainly Insar. It was just miraculous, like magical. It was magic, actually, when I saw it. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a holistic view. Bohm was always someone I was interested in. Every person likes a certain scientist. And for me, that was David Bohm. It was always something that I liked about Bohm. He just seemed a little mysterious. This is a redirection, actually, of Sartastic Beasts and where to find them. Also, because I think I might not focus on Arctic Howls, and that will be paused indefinitely. And I might not go to the Yukon, which was the primary reason to come to Canada. So I do miss Finland. So there might be, like, which is why I keep talking about peatland. Like, permafrost is something I liked for like a lot of years, because I like the Yukon for like 20, 26, 27 now, almost coming to 27 years. So permafrost was definitely interesting, because that was like the habitat of the wolves. But Finland introduced me to peatland, and I was completely ignorant about peatland and peatland burning and the damage to peatland. And then last year in June, May, June 2022, end of May, early June, I went with this organization to look at just like on a 4-day trip. I followed them, and I have to honor that as well. So I initially had planned to write 2 books. Volume 1 would be on Canada and volume 2 would be on Finland, but I don't think I will be doing that anymore. So I want to also honor that in some way. Perhaps that might come along. That's the reason peatland might come along somewhere in terms of Sartastic Beast. And there might, I'm not sure today, but there might be an episode on zombie wildfires where we talk about peatland. But I'm not sure today, because after Fraser's passing, a lot of things changed for me. So it's less about the subject. It's more about just like a fun project, but tying and actually doing things I kind of like. So if it feels like, okay, a zombie wildfire, which was supposed to be a very deep topic, like a season itself in itself, in the first first take of Sartastic Beasts, I don't think that will be the case now, but it would fall in that house. So yeah, I think for now, this is how I see it. And I know I've been asked by my friends, like, hey, you got to resurrect your Sartastic Beasts. We want to hear those interviews. So sorry, guys, the interviews might not happen, but I am taking a different direction. I think I should still give a shout out to the first Sartastic official beast was my colleague, Andrea. It was inspired by him. And then the Insar people I had worked with, 3 specialists, my Insar musketeers. And I'm very grateful to them as well, because Insar is something that's completely the whole, that kind of completes the story. Like, the whole, it's mystery, it's got your mystery, it's got your magic, stuff I don't understand, but stuff that's just fascinating. Since I have retired, there is just, it's going to come and go. So I don't know when the second episode would be. It might take a long time, I don't know. And Denver is also aging. So you never know. Like, with Fraser passing away, it was like, you know, they're 16. I mean, they're supposed to die. Dogs can't live. Like, he's already given me an extra 3.5 years. But you're still like, when it actually happens, you just... So for me, it's like, I want to spend more time with Fraser, and I'm with Denver. Whatever time is left, I'm like, it's okay. That's the reason I said I want to separate fun and work. I'm like, if I want to earn my living, eke out a living, just take up a general job, just get the money, put the food on the table, that's good. Get your food on the table, that's good. But spend more time with Denver, because I don't know how much time he's got. And all the things I like. So I love David Bohm. I love Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And I definitely love Insar. And Saar generally, because I started, the fun part is I started, like, you might actually literally have a lot of weird episodes, mainly on Ravenclaw. I realized, damn it, I'm reading a lot of Ravenclaw material, because I was reading about the Nyquist, Shannon Nyquist theorem, actually trying to understand aliasing, like literally watching digital signal processing videos. Like, that was the height of it. I was like, oh my God, isn't this supposed to be fun? But yeah, my background is in mechanical engineering. Fluid mechanics is definitely an area of interest, but not computational fluid mechanics. Like, I hate CFD. Anything when you start talking about computation, I was like, oh my God, digitization, sorry, not interested. But to actually go back now and start looking at how people, like at a point I was looking at the, nah, I don't want to go too deep into this because this will be an episode on the range migration algorithm, like literally understand the Fourier transform and go back, like literally go to Stolt interpolation, the 1978 paper, I believe it is. It's a Feb 1978 paper. Like I literally downloaded that and I'm like, let's just go back. But I also watched a lot of videos online just to understand the real reason. Like practically I used to hear my team talk about the challenges, but the real science behind why somebody came up with that theorem, the way it was written, what were the constraints at that point in time. But I want to take my time, relax, read more, watch more videos and write my second scene, because this is just the first scene, listening to that approved for release paper of 1984. And he made so many claims there, but it's a sense of wonder. It's a sense of wonder. So if it's pseudoscience, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's a fun, it's fiction for me anyways. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. So I got a nice house to put his material in. And that's the mystery. The only change is like how the movie or the book portrays Slytherin as like the evil one. I don't want to have that dichotomy of life. Like this is good, this is evil. I was like, it's just mysterious. Anything that you can't explain, anything unfathomable is Slytherin. So that which cannot be named, which cannot be explained, which cannot be digitized, whatever, all comes under this house. And I just wanted to have like a fun spin on that instead of making it the evil one. And I think that should be a wrap for this. But I hope this is a good start for season 2. And I hope my colleagues, like the ones who were like, Letty, this is so nice to have like a sarcastic beast. It's so exciting and everything, all the encouragement I got to do that. I hope they're not too bored. They're like, what? She just steered the ship in a totally different direction. Like she's doing sarcastic beasts, but there are no human beasts now. Now the algorithm is a beast in a house. I hope by the next episode I have names for my four houses, because I can't keep saying, hey Ravenclaw, hey Hufflepuff, hey Gryffindor and Slytherin. I need to have my own SAR specific names. So I think I will come up with some name for each house. And this podcast is dedicated to my dog Fraser, my best friend Fraser, and by extension obviously Denver, so all animals, but mainly dedicated to him. So I just want to keep this as a dedication and enjoy this project as a fun project. All right, I hope you have a great day, and as the Finns say, moi moi.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sartastic Beast and Where to Find Them. The intro and outro music is by Yaakov Goldman, courtesy of Free Music Archive.